Just 4 days ago, we began our journey through Lent with our Ash Wednesday service, where we were reminded of our mortality as two simple lines of ash were drawn on our foreheads. And we also held out a hope for an abundant life here on earth and an eternal life with God forever by hiding the Alleluias in preparation for the celebration of resurrection on Easter morning. Now today, we enter into a six-part Lenten sermon series based on Victor Hugo's historical novel, Les Miserables. A series that will culminate on Maundy Thursday, on April the 9th. So please go ahead and reserve that evening on your calendars, Thursday, April the 9th. Why Les Miserables, you ask? Well, first of all, thanks to all of you who accepted my invitation to enjoy the film version so as to refresh all our memories with the characters and the concepts in this story. But why Les Miserables? Admittedly, Les Miserables does not claim to be a Christian novel or musical, but the themes of grace, justice, poverty, love, transformation, and hope are certainly shared with the story of Jesus' teachings, as well as the meaning of his life, death, and resurrection. So the goal is to draw some parallels between this iconic story and our Christian calling, inspiring us to both understand our faith and to live it out in the world. This morning, we begin exactly where we should, with Victor Hugo's main character, Jean Valjean, and the concept of grace. Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see, and ears to hear, and minds to know, and lives to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, all to the glory of God our Father. Amen. We are introduced to Jean Valjean as he is serving out the last day of a 19-year prison sentence. 5 years for stealing a loaf of bread to feed his sister's starving child, and 14 years for repeated escape attempts. We meet Javert, his jailer, who gladly delivers to Valjean his release papers, which mark him as a dangerous felon, serving parole for a lifetime, guaranteeing his reincarceration if he should stray. This document will almost assuredly make sure that he is never, ever employed. A life of poverty, a high likelihood that to survive, he will need to break the law again. He has not even a glimmer of hope on the horizon. So all of Valjean's fellow convicts join in a chorus of, look down, you'll always be a slave. Look down, you're standing in your grave. Valjean, destitute, homeless, penniless, a weakened man with a brutal past, a desperate present, and a hopeless future, lays down in the street to die, lonely and cold, but is found and given food and shelter by the village priest, Monsignor Bienvenu. But Valjean repays the faithful priest by stealing away in the night and taking all of Monsignor's silver with him as he goes. Valjean is immediately caught by the police and brought back to the scene of the crime to be condemned by the priest. But instead, Bienvenu says that the silver dinnerware was a gift, that there was no crime, and even offers two more silver candlesticks to Valjean to complete the gift. But we as Christians know what the real gift was. It was not a gift of silver. but a gift of undeserved love and forgiveness, a gift of a second chance. It was a gift of grace. And this begins an exploration of two themes that run throughout the entire story of Les Miserables, the theme of grace and the theme of bending the rules to be able to give that gift of grace. And this reminds me of another who bent the rules to offer love and forgiveness and grace. In the Gospel of Matthew, we hear the story of Jesus and his disciples traveling through a field of grain on the Sabbath, and they picked the heads of grain to fill their empty bellies. Some of the Pharisees said, Look, Jesus, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Jesus said, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Another time in Matthew, a man with a withered hand approached Jesus on the Sabbath. The Pharisees reminded Jesus that it was not lawful for him to heal or to cure on the Sabbath. Jesus spoke to them of the disabled man's value as a human being, a child of God, created in the image of God. The man stretched out his hand and Jesus healed him. And then he looked at the Pharisees and asked, "Is it not lawful to do good on the Sabbath?" In the Gospel of Luke, on the Sabbath, Jesus heals a man with an unclean spirit, a crippled woman, a man with dropsy. In the Gospel of John, Jesus heals a crippled man on the Sabbath by telling him to take up his mat and walk away. But the Jews remind him that it is not lawful for him to heal or even for the man to carry his mat on the Sabbath. Just like Monsignor Bienvenu, who lied to give Jean Valjean a second chance, stretched the rules to the breaking point to give the gift of love and forgiveness and grace, Jesus seems to be of the same mind. When the rules get in the way of doing good, the rules need to be re-examined, because sometimes the ends do justify the means. The rules will have to give way in the face of the opportunity to give the gift of grace. This is nothing new to any of you. The church speaks often of God's grace given to us through Christ. Yes, we are good at declaring God's grace poured out on all of us in love. We know the story of forgiveness through faith in Christ. We know that Jesus' death on the cross was all about giving humankind a second chance. But what we don't speak of nearly as often is, how do we receive that gift of grace? And do we allow it to transform us? You see, responding to the gift of grace isn't always easy. When Valjean receives the gift of grace from Monsignor Bienvenu, it disturbs him greatly. All he has ever known is the grip of poverty, injustice, oppression, and the lash of 19 years of hard labor. Love, forgiveness, grace, these are foreign concepts to Valjean, a totally new experience. How will he accept this gift? Will he receive it well and perhaps even let it change him? Monsignor Bienvenu is aware of the difficulty of receiving grace and being transformed by that gift. So as he delivers to Valjean his gift of grace, he also challenges him. "But remember this, my brother. There exists a higher plan. You must use this precious silver to become an honest man. By the witness of the martyrs, by the passion and the blood, God has raised you out of darkness. I have saved your soul for God." Monsignor Bienvenu is saying that His gift of grace? Is God opening a door to a higher plan for Jean Valjean's life? God wants to raise Valjean out of darkness and into the light. Now, will Valjean respond to God's gift by becoming an honest man? Will he be transformed? Will the gift of grace be well received by Valjean? Valjean's response comes quickly. And just as quickly comes his bending of the rules. Bienvenu told a lie. But Valjean is now living a lie. He has taken on a false identity as Monsieur Madeleine. And we learn that he has used the money from the silver to develop a new manufacturing process. Now he has brought prosperity to his new town by employing hundreds of workers and lifting them up out of poverty. He's been elected mayor of the town because he's done so many good works. However, this brings him once again to the attention of Javert, who is sure that Mayor Madeleine is really Valjean, until word comes that someone has been arrested and thought to be Valjean and is presently on trial and will soon be sent to prison. Valjean must now decide if he will tell the truth, expose himself as Valjean, and be sent back to prison for violating the terms of his parole. Or will he allow an innocent man to take his place? The result of which would be that Valjean would finally be set free. Will Valjean be a good receiver of the gift of grace? Will he struggle to be transformed into an honest man? The answer is yes. He will go to court and admit his actual identity and save the innocent man, giving this man a second chance, a true gift of grace. This is the first of five challenges Valjean will face over the course of the story. And even though he bends the rules over and over again, escaping from prison, assuming multiple false identities, lying to friend and foe in each instance, he is true to the words we find in Philippians, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you to will and to work for his good pleasure. In our scripture readings today, we are reminded of the trespass of one man, Adam. But in Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, we hear these words. But the gift of grace is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? We stand here today among the many. Among the many who have received the gift of grace through Christ our Savior. How will we receive it? Will we receive it well? Will we allow it to transform us? To lift us from darkness to light? Will we explore the higher plan that God has for our lives? Will we take the second chance we are given through the loving act of Christ on the cross and let it change us so that we might will and work for God's good pleasure, even if that means stretching the rules from time to time? Like Valjean, will we grant the gift of grace to others so that their lives might also know the love and forgiveness of God? In this season of Lent, these are questions to be contemplated as we pray and read the scriptures, as we fast and give alms. Let us continue to receive God's gift of grace. even when with all the challenges that come with that gift. Let us receive the gift of grace, and let us receive it well. In the name of the loving, liberating, and life-giving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.